Hello and welcome to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. I'm Barry Hennessy. Sean Delaney is off this week. Coming up on this week's programme, we'll hear about how a Greenfield Fingal Primary School has managed to set up a successful student council. Don't forget that you can listen back to this and all Inside Education programmes on our website, insideed.com. You can also download our weekly podcast from iTunes. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. First, as always on the programme, we'll take a look at this week's education news. The Forum on Patronage and Pluralism in the Primary Sector held a three-day meeting this week and heard from a variety of contributors representing school management bodies, parents and teachers. The Secretary General of the Department of Education and Skills, Bridget McManus, said that there was a need to move speedily towards greater diversity in school patronage and that the state would have to act if consensus couldn't be found on a way forward. The forum heard that one of the areas where there was most pressing demand for new school patronage was Dublin 6 and 8, where Educate Together has 400 names on a waiting list but no recognition for a school. Bridget McManus said that there's an urgent need to give choice to parents, in particular communities where large numbers of them were calling for change. Father Michael Drum of the Catholic Schools Partnership told the forum that he was getting a little tired of some of the charges being levelled at Catholic schools. Father Drum was particularly critical of suggestions by the Irish National Teachers Organisation and the Irish Human Rights Commission that teachers in Catholic schools could be accused of proselytisation by parents who didn't want their children raised in the Catholic faith. One of the key statements of the week came from the forum's chairman, Professor John Coulihan, who suggested that there may be a legal impediment to setting up secular schools in Ireland. Professor Coulihan referred to a rule in place since 1926, which said that religion should inform and vivify the whole world of the school. This concern was rejected by the department's Secretary General, Bridget McManus, who said that to the best of her knowledge, no such block exists. However, former UCC Professor of Education, Áine Hyland, who was involved in setting up the Dalkey Education Project in the 1970s, recalled that it had to be designated as multi-denominational rather than non-denominational because of the 1926 rule. Meanwhile, the Minister for Education and Skills will this week announce the details of new primary and secondary schools to be built over the next 6 years, as well as new patronage arrangements for these schools, and we'll certainly analyse his announcement on next week's programme. Next to redeployment and following on from similar news at post-primary recently, primary schools in almost all regions were this week given clearance to fill their remaining temporary posts. Larger primary schools must still leave one or two posts unfilled as a small number of teachers remain to be redeployed. A number of permanent positions will also be filled from teachers with panel rights after 3 or 5 years' service. The main beneficiaries of the end of redeployment will be temporary teachers already in employment who will have their contracts renewed. Sheila Noonan, the General Secretary of the Irish National Teachers Organisation, hailed what she said was good news for thousands of temporary teachers and also welcomed the fact that there had been cross-patronage cooperation in the filling of vacancies. Finally, the Minister for Education and Skills, Rory Quinn, has congratulated the over 116,000 students nationwide who officially completed their state exams this week. The final papers were sat on Friday, although most students would have finished up before the last day. The marking process is now in full swing, with the Leaving Cert results due out on August the 17th and the Junior Cert results out in mid-September. And that's this week's education news.
Listen to Dublin Talking, 103.2 Dublin City FM.
You're listening to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM with me, Barry Hennessy. A reminder that you can listen back to this and all our programmes on our website, insideed.com. Under the 1998 Education Act, all post-primary schools are required to assist students in establishing a student council. Student councils are much rarer in primary schools, though, but they do exist. I paid a visit to Balbriggan Educate Together National School recently, where the principal, Fintan McCutcheon, strongly advocates consulting with pupils on all aspects of school life. His school is still a growing one. The current sixth-class pupils will be the first to graduate from the brand new building in the northern part of the town. Fintan, his staff and indeed students were happy to have Inside Education over to find out about how a student council can successfully operate in an Irish primary school. I first asked Fintan if he thought the particular ethos of Educate Together schools was more conducive to the operation of a student council.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's exclusively in the Educate Together sector, but it is a concept that sits very easily with our ethos. Part of the school's ethos is that of developing citizenship in the school, and we feel that a very important aspect of developing citizenship in very young children is to ensure that their voice is heard in all of the forums that affect their lives. So developing a student council is one aspect, and an important aspect, but not the full aspect of developing that in the school. The primary school curriculum lends itself very easily to the idea of developing a student council also, because strands of the English curriculum, strands of the geography curriculum, strands of the SPHE curriculum, all can be achieved through having a vibrant and functioning student council in the school.
When did you begin the process of setting up your student council here?
We're a relatively young school. We're only 6 years in existence, and we set up the student council in the second year of our existence. At that stage, our most senior class in the school was second class, so the student council was made up of second class and first class children. We now are at the stage where we have our first ever sixth class. Our first ever sixth class graduation takes place next week, and the student council is made up of children from sixth down as far as first class.
Has that presented challenges? Because you would imagine that the preoccupations of an 11-year-old would be quite different from the preoccupations of a 7-year-old, but that also the way in which they might express those preoccupations would be different, and perhaps the regard they might have for each other's concerns.
Well, I would say the flip side of that coin is that we hope that anybody who gets the opportunity to be on the student council has a huge year of learning when they're on the student council, as well as representing. They also have a huge year of learning. And for a fifth class or sixth class child to sit in at a meeting and to have second class and first class children given their opinion as to what should be happening, or their class's opinion on something, that's really good citizenship training for the fifth or sixth class child. To understand that that part and parcel of having one's own voice heard is also listening to the voices of others, and especially maybe those voices that aren't so readily acceptable to you, or readily interpreted by you, or something that is a bit of a challenge in listening to somebody.
Fintan McCutcheon, principal of Balbriggan Educate Together National School there, who is anxious to point out that the student council is anchored in the school's strong promotion of human rights. One of the two coordinating teachers with the student council, Roisin Connolly, was tragically killed in a road accident at Christmas. A portfolio of her work is now on display in the school's entrance hall.
This completed work here is a portfolio of all of the work that was completed over the month of October, which is our Human Rights Month each year. And the coordinator was our dear friend and colleague, Roisin Connolly, who was tragically killed in a car crash a few days after Christmas. Roisin, along with Niamh, were the teacher coordinators of the student council, and she gave heart and soul to that project. There's a photograph of her with members of the student council at the time. You can see the display that we're doing was at an Irish Aid exhibition. Like I said, the student council each year gets a re-energising philosophically in the school and with the children in our Human Rights Month. So a lot of the projects that you see that are undertaken in Human Rights Month are part of the citizenship project, of which the Student Council is an important part of, but it is not the full part of.
Niamh Grogan is the coordinating teacher with responsibility for the Student Council at Balbriggan Educate Together National School. She told me a little bit more about how the council works.
Well, I just put up a note on the notice board to remind the teachers of the time of the meeting, and then the children, we make an announcement over the of the speaker, and the children come to the classroom. And generally the teacher doesn't really take part in the meeting. We sit back and we let the children chair the meeting. So they're the people who take the minutes, they tick off the attendance sheet, and they have a bell to kind of, you know, to control the children. If maybe it's getting a bit too loud, they ring the bell for calmness. And generally we get the two senior members of the council to chair the meeting. And so they'll try and be fair, they try and include everyone in the conversation, and they'll ask maybe someone who's being maybe a bit more quiet than the other children, they'll call on them to see if they've got any ideas, but maybe they're just a bit, you know, shy and they're reluctant to speak out.
Who decides on the agenda or what gets discussed?
Well, the children themselves do, because we basically, at the start of the meeting, it's the attendance, and then it goes into any issues that the children have. So the children bring their issue box to the council meeting, and in their issue box are issues that the children in their class have, you know, have put into the box. So any concerns they might have, you know, anything that they would like to see in the school. So, you know, an example of an issue might be, you know, a playground in the school, or maybe a drama club in the school. So they can, you know, any ideas that they have. So the first stage of the meeting is then to jot down all of these ideas, and then we come back and we try and discuss each one in detail.
So there's actually a suggestion box in each classroom, is there?
Yeah, in each classroom from second up to sixth class, they have a suggestion box in their classroom.
And this is the main vehicle through which the ideas then come for the meeting, basically?
Yeah, and sometimes the children themselves might have an idea. So when we've discussed the issues that have been brought to the meeting, the issues that were in the suggestion box, at the end of the meeting, some of the council members themselves might have an idea themselves that they would like to discuss. For example, something that wasn't on an issue slip, but which was discussed in great detail at meetings, was makeup in the school. And it's actually on our principal's blog. So one of the children in the school, on the council, mentioned that she was quite intimidated by the fact that other children in her class were using makeup. So she felt that she had to use makeup as well. So we actually have had a few discussions as a council about this issue, and that was something that was raised by a council member herself, not on an issue.
I gather that, you know, from time to time there will be an issue, say, that school management or maybe the teaching body wants the kids to discuss at student council, and one of them in particular was a suggestion that the young people themselves would come up with some of the criteria for selecting new members of staff.
Yeah, last year we had teacher interviews at the end of the year, and Fintan asked us to discuss the interviews at our student council meeting. So what Fintan asked us to do was to brainstorm some characteristics that we would like to see in a teacher, or sorry, the children would like to see in a teacher. So it was very interesting that the main characteristic that, you know, came up a few times was fairness. And I think children really want to see consistency, and, you know, they want to see that a teacher is being fair and treating everyone equally and treating every situation equally as well. They were also, I think another characteristic they were saying was enthusiasm. They really wanted an enthusiastic teacher. And that they were the main two things, just fairness and enthusiasm. And I think someone maybe said kind as well.
But they were even asked, weren't they, to suggest a couple of questions that would actually be asked, specific questions. What subject do you most enjoy teaching? And that kind of thing.
Yeah, at the end of the meeting, Fintan actually hadn't asked to discuss it, but I was thinking during the meeting that might be kind of, you know, a good thing to discuss. So we talked about what question that they would ask a potential teacher. So they were asking, you know, what are your strengths as a teacher? What would your favourite subject to teach be? I think another question was about discipline. You know, how would you deal with a child that was misbehaving? But they were all very, very sensible suggestions. And I think Fintan took these on board, and they were posted in our blog, and also they were used in the interviews.
Niamh Grogan there. So what about the students' perspective? I dropped into a fourth class group to see what they thought. Okay, so next up, we're going to go into Gavin's fourth class. Right, morning everybody.
Morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Has anybody here ever put an idea in the students' council ideas box?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. What was your idea?
To have a swimming pool.
A swimming pool. So what happened to your idea?
The teacher said that it might cost too much, and like they might see, but like not really.
Okay, so you put the idea into the box, and did the student council actually discuss your idea?
Yeah. But, like, they thought it was too much money to build like a swimming pool and like pay some people to like teach us.
Did you think that was a fair answer?
Yes.
Who else said they put ideas in? You did. What was your idea again?
To have nicer lunches because most people don't like the wraps.
Okay, so what happened after you put your idea in?
Well, nothing's happened yet.
When did you put your idea in?
A few weeks ago.
Just a few weeks ago. So maybe there hasn't been a meeting yet. Is that possible? They haven't had a chance to talk about it, maybe. Okay, and they might talk about it at their last meeting of the year. You think there could be nicer wraps? Yes, you'd like them to talk about that. Would people agree with that, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're going to get lots of support for that one. Okay, remind me what your idea was again.
My idea was guitar lessons. They actually started teaching guitar lessons in the school for free.
So you're happy then? You got what you wanted?
Yeah.
When did you suggest that?
I think it was a while ago.
Brilliant.
I can't really remember.
Okay, so that's an example of a real success that came from the box. So is it easier to get little things done? Yeah? Folks, is it important? Do you believe it's important to have a students' council?
Yeah.
You do. Now, who'd like to tell me why? And I want people who haven't spoken to me yet to tell me why they think it's important.
I think it's important to have a student council, so if we have anything that we want, we can tell them. So we have a right to say out what we wanted.
Okay, you have a right. And every week in October, you have Human Rights Week, don't you? And it obviously children have a right to have their opinions heard, isn't that right? And you have your students council, and you choose your students council in October, isn't that right? Okay, very good. Let's see who else thinks it's important. I will come back to you, but I just want to get to people who haven't had their say at all. Okay, why do you think it's important?
I think the student council is important because if there's any issues, we can get them helped, and then they can be better.
Had you any particular issues that you suggested to them?
No, not yet.
But it's important that they're there in case one day there's something that matters, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of people do you think are the people that should be on the Students' Council?
I think the people who have big voices and aren't like afraid to say stuff.
Okay.
That they think other people might laugh at.
Okay.
I think sort of like people that would give good suggestions and who would have a loud voice.
Okay. A loud voice. It's interesting. Do you not think people can speak softly but still have important things to say?
Yes, but I think people that are best for their jobs are people that have big and strong voices and are not afraid to say something.
Brilliant.
People that are responsible to handle everybody's issues.
Okay, that's very interesting, okay? What do you mean by responsible? Give me an example of, is it people who can keep a secret in the right kind of way? Is that, or not?
Yeah.
Give me an example of responsible.
If someone put in a personal issue and they didn't want them to talk about it in front of the class, I think that the student council should be able to do that.
Okay, so they're people you can trust, basically. Very good. Thank you very much for sharing your opinions with me. And I have to say, if the quality of debate on your student council is anything as good as the way you've expressed yourselves here this morning, you've obviously got something very special going on here. Well done. Thank you.
The views from pupils in fourth class there. Well, next I spoke to two sixth class pupils who are on the student council, Daniel and Henke. They told me what they had to do to get elected.
We had a speech and we had to make it in front of the class, and then so then they decided if they'd vote for you or somebody else.
Okay. So what kind of things did you talk about in your speech?
Well, I was elected in third class as well. And there was one thing, it was very cold when we had the prefabs. So there was like an idea of a shelter, just like some kind of small little plastic roof kind of over, just to keep the kids from under the rain because we'd be waiting outside in the line, and just to make the school a better place for the kids.
You know, when you've got a wonderful new building that's going to be built, what kind of ideas did the student council want to see in their new school? Can you remember the kind of things that they were saying, our school has to be like this?
Yeah, we had this issue box where you'd write down your ideas and put them in, and I remember one of them was to have like a special like area for disabilities to make sure kids with disabilities were able to do everything that everyone else could in the school, so they wouldn't miss out.
The issue box is very important, isn't it, Henke?
Yeah, it is. Everybody, because everybody gets their own opinion, and without everybody knowing it. So that literally, if they want to talk to us or something, they just put it in the box, and we always have it out on the student council meetings.
Give me an idea, you know, when you open up that box, say sometimes this year, if the two of you have been going through the issue box in your class, what kind of things have the other students wanted you to talk about in the student council?
Well, they always have different ideas. The last time we had issues like the issue with makeup. Like, you know, the girls are wearing makeup and everybody, some of the people were against it and some were with it, so.
Who had a problem with it?
I think somebody came up with that once or twice, and then we just kind of brought it up in the student council meeting, and it's going on until now.
Okay, because the ideas in the suggestion box are anonymous, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it came up at the student council meeting, and did the student council come to a decision, or did you just talk about it, or what happened?
We kind of talked about it. We didn't really make a decision yet, but like I think there's a new policy for it from beginning from next year, but I'm not too sure about it.
Be like a politician for me now, Daniel. Okay, what are your achievements now at the end of this year?
I think our achievements is we've managed to get ourselves a new school building for the entire school. That we've managed to get the children's opinions on to the meetings of Fintan and the teachers, and I think the teachers as well, how we get new teachers and the interviews, I think that matters what the children think, because that makes the teachers better in a way.
What are your achievements, Henke?
Yeah, I think as far as Daniel's same, we got the new building, and it's a very different for us as well, as we're the first ever sixth class to leave, and we're always the first fifth class and all.
The most junior pupils represented on the student council are those in second class. I had wondered if they might be a little bit young to make their views felt, until Adam and Megan told me why they thought the student council was such a good idea.
Yeah, because you get to discuss what the school does and how it'll be done and what will be done in the school.
Give me an idea of some of the things that the second class students wanted to talk about in student council this year.
A lot of people want rugby teams and for girls and all. And there was one special meeting, and it was about we were going to have something to represent the school and the town, and there were statues, and we were allowed to discuss what we wanted.
Tell me some of the things that you wanted to talk about on student council this year.
Could we have World Cups for Get Active Week, but we're actually having the Roisin School Cup.
Oh, brilliant. Roisin was your teacher who died, unfortunately, at Christmas. Isn't that right? You're having a school cup to remember Roisin. So are all the classes taking part in that?
Mostly all the schools take a part of it, and we're doing training.
Brilliant. Okay. Now, tell me about, for example, I want you to think back over the course of the school year. When you opened the issue box in second class this year, what were the kind of ideas that were coming out of the issues box?
Like loads of rugby clubs, as Adam said, and there's loads of clubs that they wanted to do, and like baking, flower competitions and all, and garden.
What was your brightest idea?
I don't know, because there is lots of good ones.
Yeah, okay. And for example, has she forgotten anything that was in the issues box?
The hurling teams, and there was lots of sports. Mm-hmm. And there was one especially that we're trying to discuss and trying to make up our mind, makeup or no makeup.
The makeup or no makeup, because when I was talking to the sixth class pupils, they were telling me all about the makeup thing. So what was your opinion of that? Do you think that the students should be allowed to wear makeup to school?
No, because if smaller children find them wearing makeup, they could think, oh, I can wear makeup to school, so they'd probably chew it or something and eat it, and that includes gel, which means the boys.
So you're worrying about the junior infants and the senior infants that they wouldn't know what.
And that some people went around in our school calling themselves the pretty committee.
Oh, really? Okay. So was this some of the sixth class people?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. And what did you think about the makeup idea?
I don't really like it because the little kids would just get a little bit jealous and they wouldn't be allowed to bring in their makeup.
How do you decide what ideas are good and what ideas are not so good?
We all vote, like, say, if people want makeup and people don't want makeup, we, like, put up our hands and whatever vote gets the most, we do that.
But say before you vote, do you try and talk about it and try and get people to agree on something as well? Or?
Yeah, we talk to each other, like, with people beside us.
I want you to imagine now, here we are, we're nearly at the end of the school year, and imagine if you had to make a speech today and you're going to say, these are my achievements, this is what I did on the student council that nobody else could have done. What was your big achievement on the student council this year?
Getting the school, we were using litter pickers to clean up the school.
Okay.
And we found a lot of cigarettes and we said no more cigarettes, and this has actually worked.
And it wasn't just cigarettes, it was cigarettes from the entrance of the school, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anywhere on the grounds?
Yeah, it was in the grass, in the flowers, it was in the school yard. We found a lot of cans buried in the ground.
That's awful, isn't it? And now basically people are told that they're not allowed to smoke anywhere on the school grounds, isn't that right? And was that an idea from second class, was it? From you guys?
No.
No, but it was an idea from the student
council. Yeah, we have a poster in the front of the school, and it's all about no smoking.
No smoking, brilliant.
And sometimes we even find lunch bags and, like, milk and old left cartons and water bottles outside the school.
What achievement are you most proud of on the student council this year?
The litter pickers as well.
The litter pickers as well, yeah.
Because we all find, like, these big, huge plastic bags stuck to the ground.
Adam and Megan, two second-class pupils at Balbriggan Educate Together National School there, ending my report on the school's student council. My thanks to Fintan McCutcheon, the principal, to Niamh Grogan, the coordinating teacher, and to all the staff and students at Balbriggan Educate Together for the warmth of their welcome and all their help in putting the piece together. It truly is a wonderful school community. Well, that's all from Inside Education for this week. Don't forget that you can listen back to the programme on insideed.com or download the podcast from iTunes. Until next week at 7:30 on Sunday and 3:30 on Monday, this is Barry Hennessy saying goodbye and thank you for listening.